Hey, welcome to church. Welcome to Bridgepoint. So glad that you're here and so thankful that I have the chance to share with you. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Listen, I'm Chad, the other bald guy. I promise, swear to goodness, that next week the communicator will have hair. So we'll change it up a little bit for you. Hey, we've been going through this series called Mind Blown. So thankful for Tyler Crossan, his friendship and his leadership as he's guided us through this series that actually started the week after Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, of course, the day where we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And this series has really focused on how Jesus' immediate followers were mind blown by the reality of the resurrection and how it changed their day-to-day reality. And we've really focused specifically on Peter. But this is bigger than just Jesus's immediate disciples and followers. Instead, it's personal because it affects all of us. For example, this series was inspired by journal entries from one of our very own staff members who recorded her thoughts, her processing, as she reflected on what the resurrection meant for her day-to-day life. Pretty cool, right? Well, today I'd like to share with you kind of a page from my journal, if you will, figuratively. It's been a few months since I've had the privilege, an incredible privilege, to be with you, to give the message today. And since then, a lot has changed to like historic proportions. COVID-19, quarantine, has certainly had its ups and downs. And first and foremost, I can't say thank you enough to those who have put themselves on the front lines to serve people, to help people in this pandemic. Thank you. And if you've lost someone or your life has been significantly affected by the coronavirus, I pray that you'd experience peace, strength, and comfort. For our family, it's been a unique season. With three little kids, there's been some good things about COVID-19 and quarantine, if you will. Creativity coming from necessity, like going outside in our front yard and doing full-on sport practices, watching on Saturday morning Lego Star Wars cartoons together, my wife discovering TikTok, and even my wife and I finally taking the plunge and starting a podcast together. There's been some good things. There's also been some really hard things. There's been moments of incredible stress. There's been moments of grief. There's been moments where we've been paralyzed by fear and uncertainty, sleepless nights. And in that time, there's a passage of scripture that's become incredibly foundational for me, Psalm 23. Now, if you grew up in the church, you might be familiar with this passage. If you didn't grow up in the church, you still might be familiar with this passage because it's just that popular. But I want to read Psalm 23 for you. And then share with you some things that God has really been speaking to me in this time of quarantine. Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This passage has been pivotal for me. It's something that actually, I don't know if you think as a pastor that every day I spend an hour with God. I wish, but to be totally honest with you, COVID-19, quarantine, this season has blown up my rhythms and my time with God. So I had to innovate. I had to try something new. And so I actually tried to memorize this passage so slowly, like a verse a week, maybe a word a day. And it really started to affect the way that I operated. It gave me strength, because here's what I've learned. That I can find strength when my strength is found in God's living and active presence in my daily life. I can find strength when my strength is found in God's living and active daily presence in my life. So this passage starts with a line that says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." It's one of those lines, one of those statements that if it's the only verse I could know for the rest of my life, it would be enough. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I don't know anything about shepherds. As far as I know, I don't know any shepherds. But the person who wrote this psalm certainly does. King David was an expert in shepherding. It was a huge part of his story and experience. And he knows that when he refers to the Lord as a shepherd, he's characterizing God as personal, as loving, as nurturing, as guiding, as protective. And that's who God is. Oftentimes, we project upon God the hurt that human relationships cause us. So maybe you feel like God is absent. Maybe you feel like God is critical or judgmental or oppressive, but God is actually personal. He's nurturing, he's caring, he's loving and guiding, and he wants to be our shepherd. He wants to walk with us and guide us each day. And when he does, we lack nothing. Now that's mind-blowing. Because especially in this season, it feels like, I don't know about for you, but for me, it has felt like a season where I have lacked all kinds of things, like sanity. This season of quarantine has been a season of amplification for me, meaning every good or bad thing that I have internally has been amplified to the point that it's become embarrassing at times. Any jealousy or pride or insecurities have been blown up, have been exposed. Even though my house is full with three little kids and a dog, there are still moments where I'd find myself drowning alone in my thoughts. And I would cling to Psalm 23 for strength, that when the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So right now, if you feel burdened with jealousy or insecurity or uncertainty, you don't know if your business is going to make it out to the other side. You don't know if a relationship is going to get fixed. You don't know a lot of things, but you can hold to the fact that when God is your shepherd, you lack nothing. It doesn't mean that you or I have everything we want. Never. No one could give us that. It means that ultimately, when God's our shepherd, ultimately, we lack nothing. The passage continues. It says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Hey, how's your soul doing right now? How's your soul doing? Are you tired? Is your soul exhausted? Incredibly stressed and strained? There's been so many moments in the last couple months, where I've cried out to God, "God, you say that only you can refresh my soul. I need you to. I need you to refresh it in a way that only you say that you can." Jesus talks about being a life and life to the full. He talks about being the bread of life. He talks about being living water. He promises to refresh our soul in a way that's not like, you feel good and then it disappears and you actually go back to feeling worse than when you started. He's not talking about the kind of refreshment where it's good for the day and then it disappears at night when the stress comes. He talks about refreshing our soul in a way in which our soul is satisfied and stabilized. Now, when I've cried out to God, when I've kind of challenged him, if you will, "God, I need you to refresh my soul. I'm worn out, I'm exhausted, I'm overwhelmed." I often need to give God a chance to refresh my soul. Whether it's just reflecting on Psalm 23, whether it's just talking to God, not looking for an answer, but just knowing prayer is the answer, just communicating with God my stress. He has been faithful to refresh my soul. And he wants to refresh and can refresh and will refresh your soul if you give him the chance. Psalm 23 continues, he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Maybe right now you feel like you are in one of your darkest valleys. Maybe you feel like you just came out of one of your darkest valleys, and you're nervous about all the ones that might still come. But this passage tells us that we don't have to be afraid of losing while we're in the valley. Why? Because the presence, the living and active presence of God is with us every day. His presence is with us. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, our strength isn't found in our personal security. Our strength isn't found in our wit, grit, and determination. Our strength isn't found in just white knuckling it. Our strength isn't found in our savings account. Our strength isn't found in our savvy moves that we're making to try to, you know, stay afloat. Our strength is found. Our strength is found in believing in the living and active presence of God in our daily life. It says his rod and his staff protect us. Now, when I started to very slowly and sluggishly try to memorize this, I thought that King David was repeating himself. I thought the rod and the staff were the same thing. Turns out King David knew what he's doing. I told you, he knows a lot about shepherding. All right, the staff was actually used to guide sheep. So if a sheep got stuck in a creek, all right, the shepherd would use the staff to pull the sheep out. That's as much as I know about shepherding for the day. All right, if the rod was used, the rod was used to combat predators, to protect. That's what God does for you and for me. He guides us, he leads us, but he also protects us. He's a protector, and he's incredibly protective of his children. God guides us and he protects us. That's what he's doing for us in the darkest valley. And he's comforting us. God is not meeting us in the darkest valleys, our worst spots, our hardest circumstances, to remind us of all the bad decisions we made to get to that point. Instead, God is meeting us to comfort us, to guide us, to protect us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then it keeps going. It keeps getting better. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is an incredible picture because it's giving the picture of a person being surrounded by enemies. Maybe you feel like that right now. Do you feel surrounded by your stress? Do you feel burdened by your heartbreak? Do you feel surrounded by enemies? And the enemies, it could be yourself. I mean, my enemies are often me. Me, myself, and I. You put me alone in a room for a few minutes and there will be conflict, okay? My enemy is often me. My own fear, my own guilt, my own doubts. And this picture shows a person being surrounded by their enemies, and yet God prepares a table before them and anoints their head with oil, which is an incredible sign of favor and hospitality in ancient culture. It was the greatest sign of incredible favor and hospitality to anoint someone's head with oil, to prepare a huge feast for them, and to the point where their cup overflows. It's the picture of God right in the midst of your darkest moments, surrounded by opposition, surrounded and overwhelmed by stress and strain and pain. God is burying you in his love. He's lavishing his love upon you. 1 John 3 says, oh, how great the love is that the Father has lavished on us, has buried us in, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. I love that John finishes that verse by saying, and that is what we are, because he knew, he anticipated that when we read the verse, we would say, well, that's not me. God doesn't love me like that. But it's not true. All you have to do is believe that it's true. All you have to do is believe that Jesus over 2,000 years ago, walked away from an empty tomb so that he could walk right into your life each day. He loves you. He's your child. Pardon me, you are his child. And he's, while the enemies feel like they're surrounding you, he's burying you in his love. It's incredible. Oftentimes, I think that I feel like my enemies have to be absent in order for God to be present. But this passage blows my mind. My enemies don't have to be absent. I don't have to clean up my life. I don't have to figure it all out for God to be present. Instead, God never feels closer. God never feels more necessary, more personal than when we are surrounded by our enemies. Psalm 23 concludes, it says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, that's what a relationship with God is. It's a relationship that's characterized by goodness and love. I often don't feel that each day. Like my relationship with God is filled with goodness and love. Instead, what happens is we project our pains from our human relationships and we put that on God. So we just assume he's an authoritarian. We assume that he's absent. We assume that he's critical or judgmental of us. But that's not our shepherd. That's not our shepherd. Instead, God is personal. God is loving. God is nurturing. God is guiding and incredibly protective of his children. He fervently loves you and fiercely protects you. That's our shepherd. When it says that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I don't know how much of the Bible you read. By the way, you could read your Bible off of your phone, just download the app YouVersion, or you could spend $20 and buy it off Amazon like I did this week to get one of these bad boys, okay? However you digest it or how much you have, it doesn't matter. Let me give you a summary of scripture real quick. From the very beginning to the very end, the Bible is all about God dwelling with us. The word dwell means to live with. That's what the entire story of scripture is about. God living with us, him being our shepherd. And it's one that's characterized, it's a relationship that's characterized by goodness and love. And I know it's hard to feel God's goodness and love when you're surrounded by your enemies, when you're walking through a dark valley like maybe you feel like you are right now. And so one of the most practical disciplines for me has been to do this thing called a blessing book. It's actually as obvious as it sounds. It's a book, says blessings. If you actually, you can see real close, my five-year-old found it during nap time and tried to recreate the title. But this was actually recommended to me by an incredible mentor of mine, Mike Kalap, who's also here on staff, and his wisdom I treasure. And what he challenged me to do was each day to open up this blessings book and to write a blessing that day, a sign of God's goodness and love in my daily life. Some days have been more challenging than others, but really, every day God is good to us. Every day we experience his goodness and love. And this has been huge for me, huge, whether I write it at night when the stress is high or the next day when I'm thinking about a little bit more clearly. It's been huge for me to operate from a place of gratitude, knowing that even when I feel surrounded by my enemies, God's love and goodness follows me. Even when I'm surrounded by stress or uncertainty, God's love and goodness follows me. That's my shepherd. I am at my strongest. I'm at my strongest when I find my strength in God's daily, living, and active presence. I am at my strongest when I find my strength in God's living and active daily presence. I remember as I was reading and studying this passage with a group of people, And this season, it was actually a virtual group. You know how some of you know those Zoom groups. And we were studying this passage together. There's a friend of mine who's very involved with corporate sales and travels the world, or at least used to travel the world for work. And he said, "Chad, I'm surrounded every day by people who are guided by other things, who follow other shepherds, if you will." And he said, "Every day I have to make the decision to watch them as they follow their and live for their own things, for me to be able to say, that's not my shepherd. That's not my shepherd. I'm not, the market isn't my shepherd. Success at work isn't my shepherd. A jealousy, that won't be my shepherd. Insecurity, that's not my shepherd. Instead, our shepherd is personal, caring, loving, guiding, and protective. And we are at our strongest when our strength is found in God's living and active daily presence." So here's the question. Who or what is your shepherd? Right now, today, who or what is your shepherd? What's keeping you from experiencing the goodness and love of God in your daily life? Right now, today, what's keeping you? Is it pride? Is it self-reliance? Is it having a messed up view of God that actually really comes from human relationships? You think that God's an authoritarian, or that he's absent, or that he's critical of you, or judging you? God is personal. He's nurturing. He's caring. He's loving. He's guiding. He fervently loves you, and he fiercely protects you. What's keeping you from him being your shepherd today? You can choose that right now. You can just say, "God, give me the faith to believe that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked away from a tomb so that he could walk right into my daily life." That's mind-blowing. You see, we are at our strongest when our strength is found in God's living and active daily presence. That is completely mind-blowing. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our shepherd, and that in you we lack nothing. Thank you for refreshing our heart. Thank you for guiding us along the right paths for your name's sake. Thank you that in the darkest of valleys, you are with us and you're protecting us and guiding us. Thank you, God, that when we feel surrounded by our enemies, you are preparing a table before us, anointing our head with oil, favoring us. Jesus, I pray that we would experience you as our shepherd, that you would guide us. And if there's a person here today who's ready to make a shepherd change, who's ready to follow someone or something else, who's ready to trust you as their shepherd, Jesus, I pray that they would find strength in finding it in your living and active presence in their lives. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
I'm so thankful for Chad's message for me personally.